Today, I am going to attempt to do what it took C.R. Stam 4 volumes to do, which is explain the Book of Acts simply, dispensationally considered, of course. I don't want this to be an all-inclusive, this is going to answer all your problems to Acts, but it's just a quick, simple go-through of the purpose of the Book of Acts so that when we come to it, it won't be as confused. I think people make themselves more confused about the Book of Acts and what they need to be. And so the title of today's lesson, Acts Simply Explained, it's a simple purpose to the Book of Acts. And we're going to find out that the Book of Acts, much like the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is not written for us today, in a sense. In fact, it's written more as a historical book and even as a continuation of the Jewish books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so it's written to the audience of the Jews, unbelieving Jews, believing Jews, the little flock, the remnant, believing a group of Israel there that Peter was leading at the beginning of the Book of Acts. But none of it has to do with the program of what's going on today. Now, that drops the jaws of a lot of people because they say, wait. We're mid-Acts, Pauline dispensationalists. We take the second half of the Book of Acts. And I think a lot of the trouble is a lot of people try to claim the territory in the last part of the Book of Acts, saying, look, this is ours, because Paul got saved, Acts 9. So this is ours. It's not the prophetic program. When, in fact, the book is written for the purpose of showing us the fall and the stumble of the nation Israel. So everything in the Book of Acts is surrounding Israel and the prophetic program, though Paul has a ministry in it. We're talking about that. I want to begin by saying that the Book of Acts is not something that's intended to cause us mess, confusion. It doesn't have mistakes in it. Beyond what a lot of us may think, the book does not have, you know, wrong things from God. God, 1 Corinthians 14:33, is not the author of confusion. So he did not write the Book of Acts. Ha ha ha, no, he did write the Book of Acts. It is confusing to people sometimes, and it shouldn't be. So that's what we're trying to clarify today, simply explaining the Book of Acts. It's inspired by God. We know that 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is inspired by God for us to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So the Book of Acts is useful for us today, but we need to know what it means in its correct dispensational context. Let's open up to Acts 1 and Acts 28. Like any good book, you can open up to the beginning and get a gist of what it is, and if you peek to the end, you can kind of see how it's going to end up in general. We're going to do that with the Book of Acts, just to, at the beginning here, get a synopsis of what the content is about. Acts 1, verse 6 through 8. Acts 1 begins by describing what happens right before Jesus' ascension. After he taught the disciples for 40 days, he goes up into heaven and is never again seen by the 12 disciples, but yet he appears later to Paul and others at various times. In Acts 1, verse 6, the disciples, after a 40-day Jesus seminar, up in verse 2 and 3, asked Jesus, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so at the beginning of the book of Acts, we see that the kingdom is planning on being restored. The disciples, after having their minds opened up to the Scriptures in Luke 24, they ask Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He doesn't say no. He doesn't refuse what they're asking. He says, it's not for you to know the time that will happen, confirming that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled sometime in the future. So at the beginning of the book of Acts, there are the disciples here, and they're looking for the coming of the kingdom. Now in Acts 28, so let's return to Acts 28, verse 28. It ends with Paul, who is not Peter or part of the disciples, and he's talking to Jewish leaders in Rome, not in Jerusalem. And he says at the end of his speech here, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, we know a little bit about Jesus' earthly ministry, having talked about Jesus' earthly ministry in a series before, that Jesus came, Romans 15:8, to be a minister of the circumcision to confirm the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers by the truth of God. He came to confirm what was spoken of by the prophets and in the Psalms and in Moses concerning him and the kingdom. So it was no big thing the disciples asked him at the beginning of the book of Acts, what's going to happen for the rest of history here? You know, when are you going to restore the kingdom? And yet by the end of the book of Acts, Paul is saying salvation is not going to be of the Jews, it's going to be of the Gentiles. Now in John 4:22, Jesus himself says salvation is of the Jews. Salvation has historically been of the Jews. God brought out of the Gentiles a nation for himself, the Jewish people, and gave to them the promises of a kingdom, a Messiah, and through them salvation would go to the Gentiles, which means salvation is of the Jews. Okay, in Matthew 10 and Matthew 15, you know, Jesus turns down Gentiles saying that I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I come to Israel for their salvation so that they can fulfill my purpose in them to bless the world. So salvation is of the Jews, and yet Paul says at the end of the book of Acts, salvation is going to the Gentiles, it's not going to be of the Jews anymore. So the question that should arise in our minds is, what happens in between there? And that's the purpose of the subject matter of the book of Acts, right? The subject matter is the fall of the nation Israel, how Israel lost the salvation. Okay, and that's the simple truth, and I'll repeat that over and over again. The whole lesson today is about how Acts is about Israel losing the salvation, losing their program. It's the fall, diminishing, the stumbling of the nation of Israel. And that's all the book of Acts is about. It's not about the doctrine for the grace of the body of Christ today. It's not about Paul and how he started his ministry. It's about primarily how Israel lost their salvation, lost their program. It's the transition. Some people describe it as the transition between the prophetic program and the mystery program. But it's more aptly described as focusing around the Jews, Israel, and how they stumbled and fell. Because at the end of the book of Acts, they're done. God's done dealing with the prophetic program until the fullness of times, until the fullness of Gentiles comes in later. So in our dispensational charts here, by the end of the book of Acts, Israel's program is no more. The diminishing is over, their fall, they stumbled, it's all old news. We're going to go through two or three items here that are common misconceptions about the book of Acts, and we'll kind of go through some verses describing what the book of Acts really is. The first one, book of Acts is not, number one, the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. Many people would believe that the book of Acts describes the beginning of the church. Well, it describes those things that happened when the church began. A lot of people say we need to go back to those times of the early church, the Pentecostal church, the New Testament church. Now, we know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus isn't proposing starting a new thing, but instead, he confirms the old things. Matthew 5, he talks about the law and says, I didn't come to disannul the law. I didn't come to take it away or abolish it. I came to fulfill it. I came to establish it, right? And he adds to it even. You know, he came to just supply that which was prophesied already. And Acts, being a continuation of that, is not starting anything new. It's describing old things. Acts, turn to Acts 1 again. Acts 1:21, and stick your finger in Luke 24, too. Now, in the New Testament portion of our Bibles, the newer books, the books written in Greek, it starts out with the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, describing Jesus' earthly ministry. And so we get kind of the same time period repeated four times in a row, and then it goes to Acts. But we need to make sure that we understand that Acts, chronologically, historically, happened right after Luke, right after Mark, right after Matthew, right after John. And so what Jesus left them with in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John carries right over into Acts. And we see that pretty clear and smooth transition there. Luke 24:44, Jesus gives the commission here to the disciples when he says, these are the words of which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So he opens up their minds to the scriptures, and says that you're going to go out and teach repentance and remission of sins to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay, we know the prophetic program is that through Israel, God will bless and save the nations of the world. Of course, Jesus Christ being the key to that in Israel's program. And so they're preaching repentance, remission of sins, beginning at Jerusalem there. At the end of Matthew 28, the more familiar commission, when Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Matthew 28, the commission, Jesus includes baptism, and includes his commandments. The end of Mark, Mark's commission, they talk about the signs, that you can pick up any deadly thing if you're saved. These will be signs following those that are saved. The signs in Mark 16, the law in Matthew 28, and the beginning at Jerusalem in Luke 24 are all connected with Acts 1. It leads right into Acts 1 when the disciples are there, and he says, just wait here in Acts 1. They asked him, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom? He said, not now, just wait here for the Holy Spirit to come. And so that's the context of Acts 1 here. But the author of Acts, the same person who wrote the book of Luke, Luke 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke here, okay, is summarizing the history of things that have come to pass. Acts is the sequel to Luke. Turn to Acts 1, and the first verse says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up." And he continues. Luke wrote the book of Acts as a sequel to the book of Luke. Luke is Jesus' earthly ministry, just as Matthew, Mark, and John are. Acts is what happened after Jesus' earthly ministry, and is describing the fall of the nation Israel. Acts 1:21, book of Acts is not the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. One verse we know that's true is from Acts 1:21, where the disciples, after having lost Judas, that's 12 minus 1, there's only 11 of them now, so they need an additional man to fulfill the 12 disciples and their roles in the kingdom. And so they take the lots there, and they pray to God to give them that 12th man. Acts 1:21, they have some conditions for this 12th man. They have some conditions in order to be a disciple. "Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So the qualifications there are, one, they have to have been with the disciples the whole time, from the beginning of what? The baptism of John, unto the same day he was taken up. The 12th man here has to be someone that was with him, with the disciples, the whole time from the baptism of John. The beginning, which was the baptism of John. The message that they're preaching in Acts 1 here, and the disciples' qualifications, has to begin with John the Baptist, with Mark 1, repentance and remission of sins through water baptism. So the message there is pretty clear that it's just a continuation of what Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry, and nothing about Paul's revelation of the mystery or the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts 2:16, Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. Nothing new happened at Pentecost for the beginning of the body of Christ. I mean, obviously there's some new things happening here with the Holy Spirit coming down, and there's signs and miracles, and yet it was nothing unexpected. 2:16, Peter and the boys start speaking in tongues, and everyone from all the Jews, from all these nations, can understand what they're saying. They think that they're drunk, and of course he says they're not drunk in verse 15, as he supposed, seeing that it is but only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so what was going on here, he goes on to describe, was something that was already prophesied. People already knew it was going to happen, and Jesus told them before, during his earthly ministry in the beginning of the book of Acts here, that this is going to happen. Nothing new. Okay, spoken of by the prophets, the prophet Joel particularly, that in the last days, Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days. So 2 points. One, that it was spoken of before the prophets. Two, that these are the last days. So Acts 2, the beginning of the book of Acts, supposedly the beginning of the church, is actually the last days. So it's not the beginning of any body of Christ church today, which has been around for nearly 2,000 years. So the book of Acts is not a description of the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. It is, point B there, it is a continuation of Christ's earthly ministry. That's what we've been talking about. It's not the beginning of the body of Christ. It's just a continuation of what Jesus taught during his earthly ministry. Romans 15:8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." We saw that they had the same author and the same purpose, and that Luke 1:67, Zacharias talks about why Jesus came in Luke. And we can carry that on to the ministry in Acts, the beginning of the book of Acts, as they teach that those same things that were prophesied. In Luke 1:67, "The father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now notice, first of all, he's talking about the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited and redeemed his people, the nation Israel, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for his people in the house of his servant David. So the salvation here is limited to the Jews, which concurs with Luke 24:44 and 45 when he says, stay at Jerusalem, and in Acts 1, when they need someone, a Jew, who came with them from the baptism of John. Verse 7, "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Nothing new happening in Luke, just continuation of the prophecy, the prophetic program, carries right into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is not a description of the gospel of the grace of God. I mentioned earlier that a lot of grace believers may want to go to the book of Acts to find what Paul taught at the beginning, or to get some sort of doctrinal truth from Paul's ministry in the book of Acts. And yet, the book of Acts is not a description of the gospel of the grace of God. Its purpose was not to give us information of the gospel of the grace of God today in the dispensation of grace. The purpose is to show the fall, the stumbling, the fall, and the diminishing of the nation of Israel. Later we'll talk about Paul's ministry of provocation to the nation of Israel. But it's just to show the fall of the nation of Israel. It's not a description of the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24 is the only place in the Bible that has the phrase, gospel of the grace of God. Now, many times Paul talks about grace. Many times Paul talks about the gospel and the gospel of grace and the gospel of God. But the only complete phrase, gospel, the grace of God, is in Acts 20:24, when Paul is leaving the Ephesians. He's giving his farewell speech to the Ephesian elders. It says in Acts 20:24, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel, the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So he's saying goodbye to his Ephesian friends, and he says, I have testified of the gospel, the grace of God. You will search in vain before this time to find anything of what Paul taught regarding the gospel, the grace of God. Now, it's common sense for you and I, if we're going to find out what Paul taught, where do we go? You know, Ephesians, particularly for the Ephesians, or Romans, for 2 Corinthians, Paul's letters, right? The book of Acts is not intended to give us a description of what he taught. There are things in it that serve as a chronology or a history of what Paul did, but they don't tell us doctrine for us, okay? The purpose of the book of Acts is to focus around the Jews and their stumbling and their fall. Well, some say what causes a lot of folks confusion when they come to Acts is that Paul, our apostle of the Gentiles, and the dispenser of the gospel of grace of God, he does a lot of things that he does not condone. He baptizes, he circumcises, he takes vows, he respects holy days, he shaves his head, and that sort of thing. All Jewish rituals that he doesn't really teach in his epistles, and yet he does them in the book of Acts. And again, I'm going to say it's because the purpose of the book of Acts is not to show all of what Paul taught or what Paul's focus was in his ministry. It was to show stumbling and the fall of the nation of Israel. And when it talks about Paul, it talks about his ministry to the nation of Israel. It's a little known fact that Paul had a ministry to the Gentiles primarily, but also had a ministry to the Jews specifically through their fall and their stumbling. Okay, and this is our next point here, is that Paul had a mission to the nation Israel as they were falling and stumbling. And that ministry was what the Bible calls the ministry of a provocation, or the provoking. Paul went to the Jews during his ministry to provoke them to get some of them saved. He did that as a result of their falling, as a result of their program diminishing. Jesus told him to do that. And thus, in the book of Acts, being the purpose of showing Israel's fall and stumbling, it makes sense to show Paul's ministry of provoking the nation Israel, which explains why in the book of Acts, Paul goes to synagogues nearly in every chapter that he talks about. 11 times in the book of Acts, Paul goes to a Jewish synagogue. In every chapter in the book of Acts that Paul is included in, he goes to a synagogue. It starts out, well, Paul went to this town and entered the Jewish synagogue and talked to the Jews about Christ and whatnot. And so in the book of Acts, we don't see Paul and his ministry to the Gentile cities, though that's listed in the book of Acts. It shows his ministry to the Jews specifically. It was necessary for him to teach the Jews about where they were at in God's program, okay? Because they were falling, they were stumbling. And so Paul was telling them, what are you doing? With that in mind, you can find a commentary on what Paul's ministry was in Romans 9 through 11. Romans 9 through 11 is his commentary of his ministry in the book of Acts. So Romans 9 through 11 is Paul writing to Jews saying, look, this is what happened to you, this is what's happening to you now, this is what will happen to you in the future. You will be saved, but I've got a thing going on now, and this is what I've been doing to you in the book of Acts, Romans 9 through 11. And so in Acts 9, 13 through 28, the ministry there in the book of Acts is to the Jews. I mentioned before John 4, 22, Jesus himself says salvation is of the Jews, but by the end of the book of Acts, the Jews have fallen. Okay, the salvation no longer of the Jews is sent to the Gentiles. That's because there was a stumbling stone set before them. We read in prophecy, there was a stumbling stone, which was Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, Paul says, Jesus Christ crucified, is to the Jews a stumbling stone, it's a stumbling block, but to the Gentiles it's foolishness. And so the Gentiles just think that it's silliness, you know, silly religion. The Jews think that it's a stumbling stone. They can't get past it because they want to seek after their own righteousness of the law and not by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a stumbling stone. The stumbling stone causes Israel to fall. When the little flock comes before the nation Israel in the beginning of the book of Acts and starts preaching to them Jesus Christ and the faith in Jesus Christ and to enter into the kingdom, what happens? In Acts 2, 3, and 4, the Jewish religious leaders and priests, the elders, they reject it. In Acts 2, there's thousands that get saved, but in Acts 3, after they see them healing some people, they get in trouble for it. Turn to Acts 3. At the beginning of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to a temple and they see a lame man. Now, this is the subject of prophecy because in the prophets, specifically in Isaiah, we know that there's a prophecy that compares Israel to a lame man. And when this lame man is leaping and jumping for joy, it's a sign of the coming kingdom. So what Peter and John are doing here in Acts 3 is showing a sign of the coming of the kingdom. And he preaches the message here. And, of course, he accuses the nation of Israel of murdering their king and murdering the Holy One, the Prince of Life, in verse 15. It says that right now he's in heaven, verse 21. But the heaven will only receive the heaven's going to receive him until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Down in verse 25, he says to the nation Israel, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Peter talking to the Jews, showing prophetic signs of the coming of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 4, as he spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon him, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on him and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So when Peter and the boys, at the beginning of the book of Acts, are preaching the kingdom and preaching the miracles, the priests and the Sadducees and the captains of the temple, they don't like it. So they capture him. They bring him into court. In Acts chapter 4, Peter is speaking to the court, the council of the Jews, telling them what they're preaching, and they reject it. Acts chapter 5, similar things happen when again they get captured and brought before the council, and again the council rejects them. These stories become more important when we realize that the book of Acts is what? About Israel's fall and their stumbling, their rejection, their diminishing. So the beginning is when Peter and the guys are preaching the gospel. Acts 3, the council rejects them. Acts 4, the council rejects them. Acts 5, the council rejects them. And what happens in Acts 7 when Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost, turn to Acts chapter 7. He goes through Israel's history and shows the times that God has provided for them and they've rejected him. Acts 7:51. Stephen ends his sermon saying, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have not been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." But in Acts 7:51 here, Stephen is showing the stiff-necked hardness of the hearts of the Jewish leaders. Okay, the Jewish religious leaders, the priests and the elders. And they're rejecting the message. Acts 3, they reject the message. Acts 4, they reject the message. Acts 5, 7, they stone Stephen, which of course is blaspheming the Holy Ghost because Stephen being filled with the Holy Ghost. So Israel has fallen. They've stumbled at the stumbling stone of Jesus Christ, and they've fallen here by rejecting the message over and over again. It was offered to them, they reject it. So in Acts 9 is when we get Paul's salvation. Now, the rejection, Israel's rejecting of God's message isn't something that wasn't planned for. Okay, in fact, prophecy says Israel will reject the message. It prophesied Peter and the little flock there preaching the message. It prophesied the Jewish leaders rejecting the message. What the next thing that was supposed to happen was that God was going to pour out his wrath. What wasn't prophesied was the last 2,000 years, okay, which we know is pretty obvious, but it helps us understand the book of Acts, because if we take out the book of Acts from Scripture, the only problem, the problem would be is how we got from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Romans. You know, how did we get from the kingdom is coming and it's at hand and there's going to be wrath and tribulation to Paul says there's no longer Jew and Gentile? Whoa. How did we get there? Where's the transition? How did Israel fall? That's the book of Acts, how Israel fell. At the beginning of the book of Acts, they're going to the kingdom. Israel rejects the disciples. And then Paul gets risen up and they diminish. By the end of the book of Acts, salvation's gone to the Gentiles. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, 18, and 28. I mentioned before that Paul had a ministry of provocation to Israel in the book of Acts. So we know Paul from his epistles as primarily being the apostle to us, the Gentiles, preaching that there's no longer Jew and Gentile, okay, that we're all members of the body of Christ, and preaching the gospel, the grace of God to us, that we're saved by grace through faith in what Christ did for us on the cross, that we have a heavenly hope and that sort of thing. Paul had a special ministry to the Jews in the book of Acts, teaching them about Jesus Christ and trying to get them saved, which actually provoked them, which actually kind of stirred things up. He was kind of poking them. He did that in order to save some, and we'll see that here in Romans 11. But in Acts 13, 18, and 28, we see Paul three times here make a comment about salvation and the message that he's preaching and how it leads up to the conclusion of the book of Acts here. In Acts 13:14 is where this begins. It says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation to the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Okay, what an introduction, right? He starts to preach here to Israel, saying, Ye that fear God, listen to me. He's got a message, a new message here, telling them about salvation here. And the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people. And he goes on to explain their history and what Christ came to do and how he died on the cross and the prophets prophesied his death on the cross and what it meant. In verse 38, he says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. By him all that believe are justified from all things. He's preaching their justification by faith alone, you know, not by works. You're justified by faith there. They didn't like it. They rejected it. Verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Talking to who? The Jews, Israel. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, Paul's ministry, as we know it, Romans through Philemon, he is sent to Gentiles, right? But here he's saying, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Like, I didn't go there first. I came to you first. And that's what he says. I come to you first. Because historically, salvation was what? Of the Jews. He went to the synagogue every place he went first. It went to the Jews and said, look, here's what I'm preaching. Here's the new message. Here's what happened. You fell. You stumbled at the cross of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 1:23 says it's a stumbling stone. So the Jews, they reject it. They don't believe it. They disbelieve it. They disbelieve Peter. And he says, well, this is the new thing that's happening. God saved me by his grace. In me first is a pattern, 1 Timothy 1:16. But the Jews reject that too. He provokes them with that message of grace. The Jews, who up until now have been God's chosen people, have been given the law and the prophets and Moses, and they've been given the promises of the kingdom, when their former companion, their former brother, comes to them and says, well, look, you stumbled. You're wrong, you know, and you're fallen now. And now the message is for anybody, Jew and Gentile, and Jesus Christ, the guy you killed, he died for your sins. I mean, that's pretty condemning to the Jew. Now, there's two choices the Jew can do. He can either choose to believe, get saved, and follow Paul there, or he could contradict and blaspheme Paul. And that's what happens more often than not. And so they blaspheme Paul here, and Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Turn to Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So he's in Corinth here. Verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were coming to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Drop down to verse 6 there. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. The first time he goes to the Jews there in the synagogues in Acts 13, they reject him. He says, Lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Acts 18, he's in Corinth here. He enters the synagogue, as was his custom, right? And he preaches it to the Jews, because it's customary that since salvation was of the Jews, they should probably know what's happened, you know, what's going on. And him being a Jew and having a heart and a desire for his brethren that be saved, okay, Romans 10, he goes to the synagogue and says, Look, this is Jesus. This is what he's done for you. What do you think? And they get upset. They oppose him. They blaspheme. And he says, No more. Now he says here, I go to the Gentiles. He turns to the Gentiles. He goes to the Gentiles. Acts 28, he's to Rome now. He's at Rome, and he calls some people to talk to him. Verse 17, Acts 28:17. It came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And then he talks about, again, his message of Jesus Christ and how he came to die for their sins. He talks about Moses and the prophets, and they reject him. Some believed which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted. It says in verse 28, Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So in Acts 13:46, when he's entering the synagogue and the Jews reject him, he says, What? I'm turning to the Gentiles. In Acts 18:6, he goes into the synagogue in the Corinth. They reject him. He says, I go to the Gentiles. Acts 28:28, he goes to Rome, enters the synagogue, talks to the Jews. They reject him. He says, I'm sending salvation to the Gentiles. No longer is God dealing with you. Okay, no longer am I dealing with you. Okay, and then that's what Paul says by the end of the book of Acts. So the book ends with Israel being completely, utterly given up. Turn to Romans 11. God has always been patient with Israel. We know that through history. And thus is the same thing in the book of Acts. They killed the Messiah. And he said, Father, they don't know not what they do. He gives Peter and the guys the Holy Ghost, and they start preaching. And the Jewish leaders reject him. And Stephen, when they stone him, says, lay not this sin to their charge. God's always patient towards his people. He gives Paul the ministry of provocation in Romans 11 to go to the Jews. Even though that their prophetic program is up, that the kingdom isn't going to happen there and the dispensation of grace is starting, God still wants them saved. And we talked about it before, the purpose of God at all times is to see all men saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So Paul goes to these Jews, provoking them with his message so that he could save some. Romans 11:11. Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled, they being Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. You see that? The salvation which was once of the Jews, John 4:22, because of their fall, because of the rejection of Christ and his message, is now gone to the Gentiles, is now leaving the Jews. And Paul says in Acts 13, I'm turning to the Gentiles, I go to the Gentiles, salvation sent to the Gentiles, Acts 28, in order to provoke them to salvation, to emulate. That means, Romans 11:14, I may provoke to emulation. So that they, when they look at the Gentiles, say, look, they're rejoicing that they have peace with God. They're taking part in the promises that were once given to us. You know, what's that all about? They can either cast blasphemies at the preacher, you know, you're a heretic, you know, get out of here, I'm going to stone you, or they can believe it and get saved. So Paul here, having a desire, Romans 10:1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. So Romans 11:14, he says, I go to Israel, provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh, and might save some of them. And 1 Corinthians 9 says a similar thing. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 22. Paul says, for though I be free from all men, he's talking about judging his actions. I'm free from all men. It's not you that judge me. It's Christ that judges. I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became as I a weak, and I might gain the weak, and for the purpose of that I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So he says a similar thing there in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I go to the Jews there to provoke them, to show them what they've lost, to show them that no longer is God dealing with them, and there's a new message given to Gentiles freely. Romans 3:24 says, justified freely by his grace through redemption is in Christ Jesus. When he preaches this free grace, this free salvation based on what Christ did on the cross that they killed, okay, and now we can have the present salvation that the prophetic program was promised for the future, that's provoking. That's antagonizing. That's when Paul says, lo, I turn to the Gentiles, that just makes him madder. And that's what Paul was doing in the book of Acts. Once again, proving the book of Acts isn't about us. Even Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, which covers over half the book of Acts, isn't about us, to us, about our doctrine. It tells about his ministry to the Jews and how he went to the Jews and provoked them. Everywhere he went to the synagogues. And that's what Acts tells us about, Paul going to the synagogues. Paul never once in his epistles mentions a synagogue. But over 11 times he goes into synagogues in the book of Acts. Confusing for people who don't understand the purpose of the book of Acts, which is just to tell about Israel's fall and what role Paul played in that. Paul had so much more ministry that was not recorded in the book of Acts. And that's what we find in Romans through Philemon. That's what's happening today. What happened in the book of Acts was for Israel, the falling and the fallen nation Israel in time past from now, in that time, that transition between the kingdom postponement and dispensation of grace. It was about Paul's ministry to the Jews. It's not Paul's beginning ministry to us, though it was, you know, historically happening then. Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Galatians, and Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians all within the time frame of the book of Acts. He wrote the remaining 6 or 7 books after the book of Acts. But though he wrote books during the book of Acts, the book of Acts doesn't tell us about that. It doesn't tell us about those letters. It only tells about his ministry to the Jews. And so when we read the book of Acts, we realize that it's to the Jews It so happens that our apostle had a ministry to the Jews. Okay, and that's what it tells us about. So it's no surprise when he became a Jew as to the Jews and had his head shaved. He observed days. He talked about the law. But it was all for the Jews. And of course, in their obstinance, right, they show their rejection of the message. At the end of the book of Acts, Acts 22 through 28, is all about the court case. Paul versus the Jewish state. It's the Jews taking Paul to court saying, he's teaching heresy. And Paul, of course, gets the opportunity to preach and saying, no, you're just falling. Your ears are waxed gross. You're just not believing what I say and that sort of thing. And that happens for 6 or 7 chapters at the end of the book of Acts there. But the book of Acts is, the purpose is, the content is the stumble and the fall of the nation of Israel. Something else that the book of Acts is not, which is particularly a problem amongst dispensationalists, is that the book of Acts is not Peter and Paul competing for leadership. It's not Peter and Paul kind of going at it, and Peter says, I have a message, and Paul says, I have a message, and they're kind of competing for souls. You know, that's not what it is. Because the book of Acts is about Israel and their fall, Peter knows that he's going out of business, and he knows that Paul's in business. It's not a matter of fighting against each other. It's a matter of Peter handing over the reins and saying, look, it's you now. Let's see if we can get some of these guys saved. And that's what happens. Paul goes to the Jews trying to provoke them to salvation. You never hear from Peter again past Acts 15 when he hands the reins over to Paul. That conference there that Paul went up to Jerusalem to consort with the Jews there, the disciples, because some of them were teaching the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised. Peter stands up and says, brethren, remember that time when I went to the Gentiles and Cornelius and the boys, remember that? You know, God's not a respecter of persons. After that, we never hear from Peter again. Because he handed the reins over to Paul. From then on, it's all Paul. In conclusion, the book of Acts is about the stumble, fall, and the provocation of Israel by Paul. The purpose of Acts is to display the hard-heartedness of Israel. Acts 7:51. Stephen says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's what the book of Acts is about. When Paul went up to Jerusalem in Acts 21, and he was taking part in the vow, the Jewish vow, it's not about him taking the vow. The point of the story is that the Jews came in and kicked him out and took him to court because of it. He was following their law, and they rejected his message anyway. That was the point of the story there. That's the point of the whole book of Acts, is that Israel constantly rejects. They're stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted, they're uncircumcised in heart and ears, and they reject the message from Peter, they reject the message from Paul, and by the end of the book, their whole program is set aside. God's done dealing with them as a nation. And, of course, we know there's no Jew or Gentile today. We're not a nation. We're the body of Christ.